All right, welcome into the latest Mountain West Connection podcast. Our website, as always, mwcconnection.com, Facebook, Mountain West Connection, and of course, Twitter, MWC Connection, all the fun stuff where we tweet out randomness on the weekends and even during the week and game days and pretty much around the clock with a few guys that handle in that account. I am Jeremy Moss here. No Matt Kennerly tonight as he is still traveling back, making his way from Fort Collins, Colorado. Apologies once you hear this about the outcome. Heading back to Fresno. Got a little travel delayed, so it's just me tonight. Whenever you're hearing this, it's just me. So it probably won't be as long as most shows have been. And if you like me talking, great. If not, well, hopefully you downloaded already and we at least got that part of it. But not going to be super long tonight. We're going to go through the games and just kind of chat about stuff. We'll get a hold of Matt of what he did or what he did at Fresno versus Colorado State. Some people had a few questions about him at the game because he's at Hughes Stadium, one of the last, I think there's just a couple of games left before they move on to their new fancy on-campus stadium, which will be a nice addition for that school since Hughes is a bit off campus. And quite frankly, as most people probably would agree, it's a giant slab of concrete that's kind of old. And the upgrade is much needed, and we will get to that game momentarily, but we'll start way back on Friday. Sunday night right now, it seems Friday was far, far, far away ago, but we had one game Friday night, San Jose State at Boise State. Not a shocker of who won. Boise obviously won 45-31, but what was shocking in this game was that San Jose State was able to put up 31 points. They're able to move the ball against this Boise defense, which Matt and others kind of praised of how much better it was this year, or at least relative to what we thought it would be, because you lose a lot of players from last year, and we kind of figured it'd be take a step back. But when they hit some decent games, like holding Utah State to 10 points, doing what they did to UNM despite allowing the yards, only 3 touchdowns. But it hasn't really been that great. Like, BYU's good. BYU game was a good defensive effort since most of those points came on the couple pick sixes. But the Wyoming game, and not to take away from what Wyoming did, but Wyoming moved the ball well. San Jose State was more surprising, so I guess we can't really say this Bronco defense is great or that good. They did, of course, we know San Jose State gives up a lot of sacks, and they only allowed actually 1 sack this game. There's a pair of half sacks in this matchup, so San Jose State was able to hold up Kenny Potter upright. Boise had 3 TFLs, a couple no QB hurries, a couple of pass defended passes. But Potter, man, this is quite possibly his game of the year yet so far. He threw for nearly 300 yards at 278, two TDs, and a pick. Compared to what he's done before, and the running game came alive as well. So, and you had San Jose State's just been a weird team. They're still 3-7 on the year. They didn't win, but obviously. But this is a much closer game than most people thought because it was sitting at 24-16. My eyes deceive me. Maybe I'm getting old and need to let's up my percentage on my computer screen here. I apparently cannot see well tonight. But scoring 31 points is one thing, but also keeping it close. San Jose State tried to make it out interesting to final quarter, going 15 points to Boise's 14, but third quarter, they kind of limped behind, being outscored. But overall, you got to give Spartans a ton of credit. They averaged 6 yards a carry on the ground. And for what they do on the other side of the ball defensively, rushing, McNichols had 158. Yeah, they had this guy. I need to look up this guy's name right now. I remember him during the game. Alexander Mattison, I guess, freshman. Maybe he's a new running back because he came out literally nowhere. 100 yards and a touchdown. Basically had his most yards combined in that game compared previously all season long. He had his most carries since game 1 versus Louisiana Lafayette, so that's I guess they give McNichols some rest, if I recall, during that game. There's a lot going on in that matchup, so, and it was Friday and a couple of days ago. But man, Boise, they're still ranked 24th in the polls. They're in the, we won't go into playoff polls because we mentioned that with Matt last week in our preview show, since we're lucky that they happen to come out at the exact time we wanted to. But Boise's still sitting there in the rankings. I'm going to find the exact momentarily because I should have had that up here. It says 24, but that might be the actual game ranking. But after the win, not many teams kind of lost around them. I think they're still 24, if I'm correct. Let's see if that's the same here. Yeah, it's still 24, so they stayed the same. But sorry about that, folks. I was kind of rambling and wanted to double check that weird stat for some reason. But Boise's not, I don't want to make this all about Boise, because we know that they won. They still need help to get to the Mountain title game. They should have beat San Jose State. It's just the amount of points they did to give up. The amount of points. And what we meant, somebody on Twitter as well mentioned it, not just us, maybe Matt did also, but Boise's starting field position is basically like the worst in the country. And I'm trying to see if they had this game, but part of it, special teams haven't been very good. A couple muff punts. Their penalties were actually good this game, only 2-for-10. But San Jose State, this is a San Jose State team we probably wanted to see all year long, where I don't think anybody, even when they were playing extremely well, they figured they'd, or the best at what most people thought, that they'd go in and beat Boise State, because this was on the blue turf. And you got to give a little bit of credit to some of the defense. A couple of field goals were held in this game, and that's a big deal, because San Jose State, their first drive, they tried to respond. And this is, again, where you kind of got to give credit to Boise defense, but not really. But you do, because they held San Jose State to a 21-yard field goal, which is freaking chip shot, which is a extra point. So that could have been a difference to the game. Then another later on where they forced a punt on a 3-and-out, where, let me guess, I don't recall, but I'm going to guess 3 passes. No, a couple of runs, never mind. Because I know how Boise likes to just throw the ball, just because, even though they have McNichols back there, able to basically do what he wants to do, one of the top leading rushers in the country. But again, San Jose State drove all the way down, a little bit farther back at the 22, but couple of field goals could have been the difference in this game, where Boise State defense held up and San Jose State couldn't get those completions on third down when they needed them. And then they had 3 field goals. That's probably the difference. That is the difference of the game. Another one, similar, not too far, got stuck right outside the red zone. It's kind of a joke we made a few years ago, kind of the opposite here, where San Jose State can move the ball extremely well, but once they get to that red zone, they had some sort of tendency to not like being in there and don't score points or go for field goals. But overall, like, San Jose State, because I watched most of this game. I'm going to tune into just enough. But I see it's 7-6. It's, 14-13, 17-13, 24-16. San Jose State made it close enough to make it interesting. It was just the difference was that third quarter where Boise got the touchdown, and then they scored again in the fourth quarter. And then they exchanged the end of the way. And Boise actually went to turnover on downs at the end of the game. But you're up 14. You might as well, when you're sitting at the, where were they at? In mid-range, too far for field goal, just go for it. But not much changed my opinion. Because San Jose State, like, going forward, like, this season's pretty much done. Next year, they're not having Kenny Potter. A couple things you want to look out for, I guess, if you want to kind of look big picture, was that the running game, he had Kenny Potter did rush for 67 yards, which it's good for him to have this type of game. So I don't really know what the game plan was where San Jose State did this. Where was this 4 weeks ago, last week, 3 weeks ago? Have they played this well, at least offensively? They could have a couple more wins and be bowl eligible. And maybe one of the answers, a good thing to look forward for a Spartan fan, Malik Roberson, had his second best game of the year with 109 yards, only on 12 carries. Okay, one was a 60-yarder, but again, 11 for 59 yards, that's still not bad. It's about 4 yards a carry, so he's a guy to look at going forward. But overall, this is just a game where I was surprised how the Boise defense kind of was put in check. They couldn't get to the quarterback as much. And I'm trying to see when they have their bye week, or I may think they had it already, but I wonder if they're just at the point in the year where we're tired. We played a lot of football. College football is tough. We play so many games. I don't have the best schedule here for a bye week or not. I know they already had it, I believe, early, but they go to Hawaii next weekend. Speaking of that, we do still have tickets to give away. So if you're listening at this point and it's a Monday midday, leave a comment on an article. It's titled, I think, just ticket giveaway. There's like maybe a dozen people, so you have a really good chance to get some decent tickets to see a Hawaii team. Yes, they got lost pretty bad to San Diego State. But again, you get to see a good team in town. So hopefully we get a few more people to check that out and comment, and we'll do a little random drawing. And voila, thanks to Keith for having those tickets this year. And we got a handful in there, so let's get a few more to make it interesting. So it's not, right now I got about 10% chance to win. So pretty good odds. And even though it's on CBS Sports Network, go to the game. Being at a game is exciting. It's fun. So check that out. We'll give out the announcement of this week. You'll be at Will Call if you are the winner. Yes, you. Congratulations in advance, whoever you are at this time. But let's get to Saturday, where we have a slate of games on the weekend. Full slate, 10 a.m., early kickoff, Commander-in-Chief Award. was handed out. Air Force earned that honor. And I noticed somebody on Twitter, they DM'd, not DM'd us, but I put in a little, I think they just tagged us in a photo. Excuse me, folks. And they go, got a little sidetrack heading back to Colorado Springs, where they drove the Google Maps going south to Annapolis, who has the CIC, and then going west to Colorado. So I thought that was pretty clever to make that up. A lot of people like that. Even, hey, I even noticed that one of the tweets were tagged in. Former Fresno head coach Tim Drueter liked one of the tweets about the, I think this is the 20th CIC for Air Force. And we all know he was a, well, you should know, a former DC of the Academy before he went to A&M and then made his way to Fresno. And now he's shuffling around town, collecting that paycheck from Fresno for the next little while. But as for the game itself, 31-12 was the final score. Kind of a sluggish game early on, a 0-0 first quarter. 0-0 midway through the first half, actually. And starting quarterback, it was not Nate Romine, Ariana Worthman starting. He actually, most people were surprised he could throw this well, because from what we saw last week and kind of reading up on who he was, basically a speedster, and that was about it, because you don't need to throw very well at the Academy. But he went 6-9 for 195, good for 22 yards a pop. He did find Jalen Robinette for a, I thought he had it. Oh, that was Jacoby Owens' touchdown. I thought it was the, I apologize. I was looking at the, there's one TD where it's kind of looked like a wounded duck partway through. I guess I did go to Owens. I thought it was Robinette, but it was like a wounded duck. Guy gets underneath it, redirects his positioning, catches the ball, scores the touchdown. But then Robinette had 3 for 104. And Army actually had a good touchdown to one of the better names in college football, Edgar Poe. Had a responding touchdown for Army in this game. But Air Force, they, man, there's some, watching the triple option, it's fun to watch, because if you don't just watch the underneath stuff, but if you watch how the blocks go on the outside, there's one particular play, Army just had perfect blocking, like the wide receiver made a good block, guy downfield made a good block, no holding, kept the arms in check, not extended, and just allowed the running back to go through. I don't remember who it was, but there's only very few of those big plays. Army, it's just, we all know, runs very well. Only had 144 on the ground, barely 3.5 yards per carry, and only one touchdown. Not many long rushing plays, and that's the key when you're playing these teams. Same for Army v. Air Force. Stop the big runs. And Army kind of did that as well. You had a Jacoby Owens, also had a 59-yarder. But overall, there weren't many explosive plays. A couple of passing plays, and then the few running plays. But the big things in this game for Air Force was the picking off Ahmad Bradshaw, excuse me, twice in this game. 31-12, they get a pair of picks. They also had 6 TFLs, 5 pass breakups, and a sack in this game. So they were defense. This is the defense we liked about Air Force all year long. But okay, you're like, well, they beat Army. Well, Army's sitting at 5-4. They beat Temple. They're going to be bowl eligible. This is one of the better Army teams we've seen in a long time. It's not just an Army team. They're going 1-11. Owen, lucky to get a win or not. But defense stepped up. They forced Air Force stuffed Army 4-12 on third downs. 0-2 on fourth downs. They were able to stop drives. They outrushed them. Time of possession was pretty much even. 1 to turnover margin. Penalties were a big deal. Even though it didn't go Air Force's way, 99 to 35 yards comparatively to the two. But, man, the interceptions are what killed Army and drove Air Force to the victory. Because when you look at the interceptions, like even Air Force, they missed a field goal. Because there's chances where Army could have gotten this game. They missed field goal early on. Air Force fumbles, but Air Force fumbles. Air Force gets it back by interception, leads to a field goal. And then the other interception didn't lead to any points, but still, you just stall drive. So at the end of the game, yeah, you're up 31-12, and then they pick you off, Air Force does to Army. So they weren't really in it late, but man, watching the triple option, just watch the game. I know a lot of people listening watch Air Force, watch Army play and everything every now and then, at least Air Force, I should say. But watch them play. And if this Air Force defense shows up, like, I don't know where it's been, because Army's not that bad of a team. Yes, it's a different style of team. But again, remember, Air Force played New Mexico down in the Bizarro Cotton Bowl game. Allowed, what was it, 40, I believe a 45-40 outcome. Allowed New Mexico to run at will over them. And then they do this against Army, who has a arguably equal running attack in the same neighborhood as Navy. Or I'm getting my teams mixed up. New Mexico, I should say. I don't have somebody next to me. No, that's wrong. Tell me, that's wrong. Wrong team, wrong name. But this is just a, they just showed up. That's like what Jacoby Owen said. Like, this shows grit of their team. And then he just was put it in the middle of the locker room, and so everybody could see it, referring to the CIC, the 20th CIC. And so no matter what happens in Army versus Navy, doesn't matter, since Air Force beat Navy earlier on, and that's the way it is. And really quick, Nate Romine did practice a bit this week, as we mentioned, but didn't seem to miss a beat with Wortham back there, who's shown he cannot throw the ball. So I don't know rest of the way, because they are going to a bowl game at 6-3, and let's see what the injury is or how severe it is going forward, even though he did practice a little bit. We'll see. I don't know. I just know Wortham is a super fast guy, like, and he prepared all week to be the starter. It does help you out. Like he says, it helps us out mentally. Where it does, if you're knowing you're the guy, you don't have to worry about being pulled. You don't have to worry about getting switched out. You're ready to go. It's not like it's a situation where you're getting backup reps all week and then, oh, you're starting. So we'll see how it goes going forward with this, if it's Wortham, because he's played well enough to maybe, I don't say want to take over the job, but we'll see. Also, quick notes, this is a third straight bowl appearance for Air Force. And like I said, may have found their quarterback in the future, because Wortham is a sophomore only. So congrats to Air Force for getting that CIC award. And now let's move on to, I'm sorry, Matt. I know you're at the game. 37-0, Colorado State over Fresno State, not Air Force. Colorado State, 37-0 over Fresno State. Two questions I have on this. Where was this Colorado State team earlier in the year? Because I remember, this is probably the last time I'll mention this, but Marty English said, oh, we can't tackle anybody. We missed 20 tackles. But ever since that second half of Utah State game, they played very well. Yeah, Boise State, they got behind early, but they made a furious comeback. And a lot of weather issues in that game. A lot of rain, moisture. It's kind of an odd scenario. But it was a game where they did make a good comeback. Defense has played much better. First shutout, I believe in, I thought I had sub, I think it's 97. Is that right? Maybe. I'll do that really quick as I'm chatting about things, but I wonder if it's right here in the first little bit of the AP recap. Regardless of what it is, it's a shutout for the first time in a very, very, very long time. I was correct. 20 years, essentially. 1997 when they, doesn't say who they beat. I don't recall who it was, but here's the thing. It's Rams team. Where were you earlier on? You're sitting at 5-4, chance to go bowling now, and this team probably could have beat others in the year. I know Nick Stevens, and again, where was he early on? I know Colorado is much better than people thought, but he went 18-23, 237, pair of touchdowns. Not amazing, but efficient. Moved the ball down the field. Even Fountain Bada got in and kind of tried to run the ball a little bit. Got a carry or two. But a couple things that surprised me about CSU. The running game is finally what we thought it would be. You have Marvin Kinsey, who maybe he's the missing piece. The freshman rushed for 83 yards and a touchdown, average over 8 yards a carry. He's quietly been the past two games, because he played well versus Northern Colorado, but come on, you're playing a FCS team. But versus UNLV, 10 for 68 and now 10 for 83. Three touchdowns in the past two games, more touchdowns he had all year, two prior to the last stretch versus UNLV and Fresno. So you have him running the ball. Izzy Matthews ran the ball well. Even Dalen Dawkins, each had those guys combined for 30 carries and, let's see, about 175 yards. Overall, 254. Even had guy like wide receivers get in the mix, running the ball well for CSU. And Fresno State, we knew there would be quarterback back and forth a little bit, because Eric Kiesel mentioned in his coach's show or press conference, one of the two, we are going to play two quarterbacks. Well, we got into a lot of heat saying about Zach Klein. Yeah, one tweet, probably, I don't know, I was trying to hammer a point home. Maybe not the best choice about how many times he's transferred. Klein, if you don't play college football, great. That's awesome. It's just, our point was, and Klein did get to start, didn't play very particularly well either. 11 of 24, a pick and 147 on the ground. He ran for 26. Virgil had one attempt for 8 yards and ran once for zero. Probably, I'm assuming, a QB rush or a QB hurry, I should say. But our point was, play for the future, because you are now 1-9, 0-6 in league play. Your new coach is Jim Bartko. I believe he's going to make the announcement. The two-week period ends, I believe, November 7th or 8th. So he said, I could look for an announcement at the end of this week, which, as quiet as it's been, it's Jeff Tedford. Nobody's going to deny it. Not our first choice, not our favorite choice, but it's going to be him, and Fresno fans, deal with it. I know some will love it. I know Matt's not for it. I'm not for it. I think the most part, like what me and Matt have said, and he'll tell me if I'm speaking out of turn, but I think it's just the laser focus of him being number one choice regardless. Like, here's a quick thought. Me and him were chatting on Facebook Messenger last week. We'll get, this game's 37-0. We'll talk maybe a minute or two more about it. But one name I was looking at, I was like, it's kind of just kind of, I don't know why this name came to me, but I'm like, Ruffin McNeil. I'm like, why is that name coming to me? Well, I know who he is, obviously. Like, he's been an ECU head coach. He's now at UVA. I'm looking through, and he's Texas Tech. I'm like, oh, he coached at UNLV. He actually coached at freaking Fresno State back in 99. I know he hasn't been that part of the country, but that's a guy. They, not to say he should get the job, but he checks most of the boxes you want for a head coach. He's, I don't, because Fresno, they're like, oh, we want to, they don't want an up-and-comer. They want a known commodity. And I know recruiting's a big deal. I know Tedford's a name that people will attract to, and that's a good thing for recruiting-wise. If, assuming the kids who are 16, 18 remember him back in the day, because Aaron Rodgers is his best QB, been in the NFL for a long time. So that name, when I was looking at some video they did on Fresno B, it was older fan base, like I believe 50 up for the most part, saying, yeah, Tedford's a guy. It's like, well, yeah, those guys 20 years ago, yeah, younger, a little more younger, they know who he is. If you're a high school kid, what do you know about Jeff Tedford? If you see him, oh, guy's a funny mustache or something, if he, or whatever. It's just a name where I don't want to bash on it, but you could see the difference of who wants who. But back to McNeil, I'm like, he did good. Like, I kind of thinking about it, ECU is almost the exact same thing as Fresno State, if you think about it. Besides being opposite sides of the country, they've been reasonably close to getting to the BCS game or big money game. They've won conference titles. They've been very competitive, play big teams, and do reasonably well. They kind of almost mirror each other. And so I'm thinking, why not Ruffin McNeil? Could he get an interview? He's a Fresno guy. Fresno ties even a little bit. Coached in the conference. Coached out west at Texas Tech at a place where it's hard to get players, even though you're in a big conference. So that's the name that kind of came up to my mind. And a few people like, oh, it makes sense. A few people were no, Tedford all the way. But I don't know what the deal is. And then us saying Zach Klein probably shouldn't play because of what's left in the year. And like, well, maybe you can learn leadership from him. Like, well, maybe, maybe not. He was at FCS school 2 years ago. Was at Cal twice. Went to a junior college in between as well. But I joked, like, is there a new offensive line that comes with this QB change? Because running game was non-existent. Not even 3 yards to carry. 2.3 yards per carry in this game. Fresno, it was just, this is, I don't know if this is rock bottom. They were 7-17 on third down, which isn't great, but not terrible. They're 6 yards of pass. I don't know what to say. I don't know what the deal is at Fresno State. Virgil should be the future, and you ain't getting around this late in the year. I don't know what Kiesel's doing. I don't think he's getting a job. I'm wondering if he's doing this to show he's willing to make change, so Bart Cook can look at this, because I'm assuming Kiesel will get an has received an interview or will receive an interview, and maybe he's showing his willingness to change, mix things up, but nothing worked well. The Rams have played well, credit to them, but Fresno, man, they rock bottom, man. Luke Bond losing 37-0, not even showing up. I don't even know how many reds they got in the red zone or even how close they were to scoring, because the way their offense is going and then the defense lost that many yards. I'm trying to see here. Like, their drive charts, like, their first, no joke, first three drives were three and out. Four of their five drives in the first half were three and outs. One was a six-play drive that ended, let's see how far that went really quick. I know we're going diving deep here. Didn't make it to midfield. I think they made it to midfield sometime in the second half. They had, oh my gosh, five of their first seven drives were 3 yards or out, 3 yards or less. They finally pass midfield on a 12-play drive, down 37-0 in the third quarter. They get all the way down to the CSU 19, lose a few yards, and then they decide to go for it on 4th and 9 because they're probably a bit too far for a field goal. Yet, there was a, it's just a mess. Interception, punt, oh, Jesus. I don't know how Matt controlled himself. I talked to him on Tuesday. About that when we do our recap, but if you're a Fresno State fan, let's just hope and reach for the sky. Whatever you do, if you're praying, if you're crossing your fingers, if whatever you're doing, thinking good vibes, hope Jeff Tedford will bring a good staff with them and get recruiting going. And because that was a big deal as well. The guys have left town in their backyard. They're not getting who are doing well in the Mountain West. Okay, back to CSU really quick. Also really quick, another guy who stepped up big at RJ Jean forced a had a 1.5 sacks at a QB hurry, true freshman for the Rams. So they seem to finally getting things going them way. Oh, and also earlier on Sunday, they snagged the now former Tennessee wide receiver, top wide receiver of the 2015 class, as they decided to transfer to CSU, and it is Preston Williams. So that's he's likely sit out next year. He'll be there down the road, but that's a pretty good get for them. So with Tim and Colin Hill in a couple of years, that could be a pretty good sight for this Rams offense down the road. And then you mix in McKinsley there. Things are looking up for Rams after how they started very poorly going the CU games and losing to Minnesota, Wyoming. But if you think about it, too, like in our preview of hate, what our guy Colin does really quick, or Connor, excuse me, I'm sorry. But if you look who they lost to, like the Rams' losses aren't really bad. They lost to Colorado, who's in position to win the Pac-12, leading the Pac-12 South. I mean, Utah lost to Minnesota, a touchdown loss on the road to Minnesota, who's middle of the pack team in the Big to make a bowl game, better than what they have been. I don't think nobody's gonna say Minnesota's like Ohio State or anything, but they're sitting at 7-2, so you have that as well. And then they lose to Boise State, who's sitting at with two losses. Ranked at the moment. So if you're looking at who CSU lost their season, if you kind of break it down that way, it's actually much better than people thought. Just started off so oddly, losing to CU, terrible quarterback play, and then the other loss to Wyoming, who could win the division. So the Rams, for what they started as, even though they've gone 3-3 in their last six, all three losses have been reasonably competitive. Wyoming notwithstanding in CU, but it's they got Air Force next week. They need one more win to go bowling. It's still going to be a tough task if they go bowling because they go to Air Force, who we'll see how they go because they improved quite a bit, and who's going to be QB. Host New Mexico, who we know what those guys can do, running the ball, Gibson and Owens and McCorley, and then at San Diego State. So bowling's not a given for the Rams, but I think it's a pretty good possibility they could get to 6 wins. All right, so let's get to the next games here. Let me re-pull up my schedules. I have too many tabs open. We had, like I said, everything was on Friday. We had this game, a CSU Fresno. Then the next game, let's just jump to click, click, click. Tabs, tabs, tabs. Internet, go faster. So that's what we're getting right now. I apologize. I had to click. I don't leave my box score up as I should, or the schedule. I keep box scores up. But a couple more games we have. Like, let's do this. Let's go to the Hawaii San Diego State game. I'm sorry, Hawaii fans. I was hoping a bowl game could be in their future, perhaps. They do need 7 wins. So that's still, I think that's out of the question now. And conversely, congrats to San Diego State winning. Aztecs have been on a roll, winning 55-0. 55-0 over Hawaii. This was not even close. The Aztecs are sitting at 9-1, still not ranked. They're very close. Hawaii drops to 4-6, meaning they need to win all three of their games to go bowling. And they play Boise next week at home, but it's probably not going to happen. Okay, I need to double check this box score on ESPN because something there must be something wrong because it mentions Christian Chapman, not even any yards passing. It's like all dashes, but yet the team combined for 97 yards, 3 touchdown passes. I'll need to get a new box score here, but all you need to know is that Hawaii had Drew Brown, who did go. I don't get how this happens. You go 22 of 35, which is well over 50%, nearly 2/3 of your passes, but yet only 135 yards, 3.9 yards per attempt, but he had 3 picks. So there's 4 picks overall. So the San Diego State defense had a huge game. Seven hurries. They had three TFLs, 2 sacks. They were just, and 2 defensive touchdowns. They had Ron Smith and DeMonte Casey had a pick 6. But man, this is just a crushing blow. And you had Pumphrey with 112, Rashad Penny, 108 yards. Pumphrey's held the end zone. That's pretty shocking for them, but there's not much to say about this game. And then Hawaii did decide to bring in, it's out of hand, Aaron Zwolin, I want to say. Yeah, he went 3 of 10, another pick for Hawaii. That's a tough go. He's a freshman from Modesto, but what is there to say? Aztecs are crushing opponents. I guess that South Alabama loss is still haunting them because you're beating teams. I know the West Division isn't great, but the way they've been winning, they deserve to be ranked. You're sitting at 8-1 now. Maybe when they play Wyoming coming up, that'll get them ranked because Wyoming's sitting with two losses right now. Because they've won their last games. Like, UNLV is somewhat close, 26-7. They only beat Fresno 17-3, but man, San Jose State, 42 points. Utah State, 40 points. 55 points. Okay, their next game is at Nevada, which wouldn't be surprised if they go 40-0 or 40-10. Then at Wyoming, then host CSU. They've also give a good big congrats to the Aztecs as they clinched the West Division. Not sure if they'll host at the moment. It's all computer formula or whoever gets ranked in the college football playoff. I know Boise's up there now, but right now, remember, they don't have the path to the title game. They need a lot of help. They need Wyoming to lose twice or have a three-way tie with Wyoming, New Mexico, and Boise. We won't get into that now, but that would help them out without having to have Wyoming lose twice. So Aztecs, just keep crushing it, man. Just do what you're doing. There's really nothing more to add. The only intrigue, maybe who Hawaii may start next week, but Drew Brown's the guy. And the reason they made the change was, heck, it's a blowout. Let's get this freshman in there, get him a couple carries. But congrats to Aztecs for having another complete dominant performance. And they don't need to pass. I don't care. Christian Chapman, go 6-10 for 100 yards. That's perfect. Something like that is all they need. I know if they had a better passing game, we'd say, like I said before, if they had a great passing game, they would be undefeated most likely, but they'd be more highly regarded, but they don't need to throw. Just don't turn it over and throw above 60%. Try to do that on 10 to 12 attempts. Next game. All right. Two more games. We'll go to Utah State, Wyoming. Woo! 52-28. Cowboys keep rolling. Utah State did get a lot of points in this game, 28 points, and they made it close enough because it was 35-7 at the half, and it's like, whoa, Wyoming's crushing them, and they did. But then Utah State had a huge third quarter, 21 points to make it 42-28 heading into the final quarter. But then Wyoming said, enough of this, and then scored 10 points to basically put it away. Wyoming, yeah, Josh Allen, pretty good game. 4 TDs, very good, actually. 16-26 throwing the ball. Brian Hill did his normal thing, 5 yards a carry, almost 6, 2 touchdowns, long throw. Gentry had 93 yards, 2 touchdowns, long of 46. Utah State, they played a couple quarterbacks. Well, first off, Utah State running game was just awful. They finally picked it up. Tony Lindsay had 5 for 75. Had a long of 29. Yeah, Damian Hobbs is the QB. He actually came in and relieved Kent Myers for a little bit. I guess if that's injured or not, I did not look that up. But Hobbs helped out, had only 24 rushing yards, but 3 touchdowns on the ground to make it interesting. I need to see if there's an injury of some sort. But Kent Myers was 17-29, 235. So, like, they had yards in this game. Like, if you combine both QBs, he had one pick, but only one touchdown. Threw for over 300 yards, not quite the average like Josh Allen, who had 10 yards per attempt. And then you had Raquavion Tarver. He had a fumble loss, which was not a good thing, but he had 8 for 104. Rashad Lewis finally came back after slumping a little bit. We thought he may have had that freshman hit the freshman wall. Had a touchdown and 7 receptions for 56 yards, which that 7 doubled his past, or was more than his past two games combined. I don't know if Kent Myers left. I wish I could look it up and see. I should look up my good friend Steve Loom, who I know a little bit from the Salt Lake Tribune, to see what he said about Myers. But regardless, Utah State made a run in that third quarter. But Wyoming, I don't remember the last time Wyoming scored 52 points. They're sitting at 7-2, 5-0 in league play. Played well enough. Outside of that third quarter, it's fine. They can give up points, but 52 points is ridiculous. And look, even their defense, this is an amazing stat here. They had 10 pass breakups. They had 6 TFLs and 3 sacks. So the defense was there. They made plays. Just that third quarter made this game more interesting than what it was, because 52-28, it's still a good victory, but it could have been even more if not for that little hiccup. But heck, it's Wyoming team. Like, Craig Bowles, like, give me 5 years. He's in year 3, I want to say, and look what he's doing. He's going to have them on the cusp of winning the Mountain West title. I did mention, like, I do the weekly pecking order for the G5 teams for the New Year 6. Different from our underdog polls. This is more of, if your team finishes 1 loss, 0 losses, 2 losses, where You will go. I have it set up as Western Michigan because they're still undefeated. San Diego State because they have a clear path to the title game than Boise. And I don't think a one-loss Aztec team will get in over undefeated Western Michigan, but they have Boise there. They have a couple American teams. Navy and Tulsa will knock each other out. But Wyoming is, they're lurking, but they need help because the way it's at right now, they probably need Western Michigan to lose twice, I'm assuming, or just not win the title. I think one loss maybe because their loss to Nebraska is looking pretty good. Yes, Nebraska got crushed against Ohio State. Eastern Michigan's, I think they're bowl eligible, so it's not a... And the way the committee looks at it is losses versus teams with winning records or losing records, which not ideal when if you're playing a team from the MAC comparative to a Big Ten team. They are sitting at 5-4 Eastern Michigan. It's not all wins are created equal or losses either. But they go to UNLV next week. Wyoming should win that game. They'd have to beat San Diego State twice, and I don't know if they can do that. They do host the Aztecs November 19th. And then even at New Mexico the following week, Thanksgiving weekend, is still going to be tough because New Mexico is a pain in everybody's butt. And that could, the funny thing is, that game could determine the conference title, or the division title, I should say. Who would have thought, Wyoming at New Mexico, the most important game in the Mountain Division of the Mountain West. But Cowboys, I made it, I did make the title a little, not misleading, but hey, well, I'll add a bit more beef about the Cowboys in this article. So I did that near the end before I put my pecking order, and they probably need at least one Western Michigan loss, probably two. The American champ that threw losses, which looking good at the moment right now. And then beat San Diego State twice. That's a big thing. Beat them twice. Because three losses almost eliminates them. I don't think they'll get it, but think of it this way, man. Brian Hill's back next year. Josh Allen's back. They do need to replace Tanner Gentry. Defense is looking, was very young. They start, I believe, the most freshman or sophomore. So you could see a rivalry brewing maybe next couple years. Brian Hill, assuming he doesn't go to NFL, them versus Boise State if McNichols doesn't go to the NFL. Ripon's still around for at least one more year. So, well, I mean, the things look up and up, and I don't want to look too far ahead, but let's hope Craig Bull sticks around for a while to get close to what he did at North Dakota State. Obviously, the playoffs are far, far down the road, if ever, out of any team not in the Big Five Conference. But get to a big money game, why not? Who knows? We'll see. And also, speaking of that, I'll have to make a quick joke. The American Conference, I saw this from Tulane, sticking on, we know Mike Goresko, their commissioner, really wants to get back to the, has American basically be the Big East to be a power conference. He had the teams, like I said, Tulane put on a P6, like we're going to be a power six. And people are saying, well, at least they're doing something. I'm like, yeah, technically. But when the Mountain West, when they had Utah, TCU in the league, I remember as Andy Staples, or maybe as Stuart Mandel at SI, there was a formula to actually elevate yourself to get into the power conferences. The Mountain West was ahead, and I believe in enough and in the criteria, even ahead of the ACC in some, to be considered, but yet they're not in. As far as I know, there's no criteria in the playoff era to get that spot. So the American, I don't know what it would take. I honestly don't think there's anything written down, which means they can just fudge it and keep you out, but I just kind of had a chuckle about putting the P6 stickers on their side of the helmet or decal. So get back to me when you're making $25 million per year. Then we can discuss about being a power conference. But in the meantime, you're right in the Mountain West neighborhood, maybe a tad more with a few markets and overall strength a bit better. But come on. Come on, American, really? All right, final game, which actually had about 100-minute weather delay. We had New Mexico and Nevada. And as I already kind of maybe spoiled, if you haven't heard, New Mexico played Nevada. And we said New Mexico versus Wyoming could determine that the Mountain Division title. But New Mexico won 35-26. Nevada hung around, did well. The delay was right around halftime. So I'm like trying to watch the game. Like, why is Wyoming on whatever ESPN channel? But there's a delay. With this game, Ty Ganji made his start because Tyler Stewart is out for the year. Career, unfortunately, over. He did throw for 300 yards, had three TDs, but also had two picks. Running game was only James Butler. That's it. Had 94 yards, nothing else. He had Aki Muhammad, 1-for-17. Nobody, no triple option because Ganji had 2-for-0 yards. So, and give credit to the Nevada defense as well. They held New Mexico to not many big running plays. Like the longest running was only 29. We've seen Gibson, Tyron Owens, Richard McCorley bust off 60, 50, 80-yard runs. So give credit to the Wolfpack for slowing them down. Austin Apodaca got in this game again, so it looks like he's more healthy. And most of the reps at QB, almost through 100 yards, which is fine. 7-9 for 96. Perfectly fine for New Mexico. He can have that throwing threat, which we've always said. If you can have the threat to throw, New Mexico could be really good. And they're sitting at 6-3, like I said, 4-1, on path to, if they can beat Wyoming, they're, I got to look at tiebreaker, but they could win the Mountainous title by whatever the tiebreaker comes to the division. I believe at that point, if they all finish one loss, that means they've had the same conference record, which means West Division victories become much more valuable. And not to dive into that now, but you beat Nevada right here, and that's a Western Division win. So, and we'll see in Boise. I won't get into that now. We'll get into that later. But part of this game, like, it started off so, like, New Mexico was only up 7-0. Nevada made it 14 points that second quarter to make it 14-14. But looking at the drives, like, there was two back-to-back interceptions, which really hurt. Well, it hurt more New Mexico than Nevada because Lobos could not take advantage. They intercepted a Ganji. They decided to go down a nice 12-play drive. Only 33 yards, though, but then they gave it up themselves on one of the interceptions by a Lamar Jordan pass, one of his three passes, 1-for-3. In the end, that's a tough one, touchback in INT, so that is a big swing there. But it didn't matter because New Mexico ended up still winning. And man, New Mexico kind of got lucky in this game. Fumble for a touchdown, giving up 14 points off turnovers, so it's got to change the Lobos there. You can't have that happen, and that's how Nevada was able to keep it going. Missed field goal end of the half doesn't help either for Nevada there. They missed, how far was that? Yeah, 47-yarder. Can't blame them, but this is just where New Mexico's kind of chipped away. In that third quarter after the delay, Nevada 2-3 and outs. New Mexico scored twice. And they had, here's kind of odd about New Mexico. Me and Matt kind of wondering about their defense because their defense wasn't amazing. But you know, when you see spread teams, they'll do a 3-and-out or Mike Leach, or if you look at Oregon, or if you look just teams that go fast, Texas Tech, Washington State, they'll go three plays in like 60 seconds. Not even 60 seconds because they want to snap the ball as fast as they can and then just keep going and going and going to make the other team tired. Well, conversely, that can make your defense tired. And we were kind of pondering, like, maybe the Lobos defense isn't good because, or not as good, because there's times where, as I mentioned before, McCorley, Gibson, Owens, Jordan, Apodaca can go for big running plays. And looking at this drive chart right here, they had one play or one scoring drive, 14 plays, 7:41 off the clock. Conversely, a six play, 2:57 drive, two possessions or a possession later after a Nevada punt, where Lobos also scored. And that was kind of the difference in the game, going up 28-14. New Mexico did. I can't speak tonight. Nevada responded twice, actually. Maybe I was wrong. I didn't watch the end of this game. Ended after 1 a.m. my time, so I was trying to think, like, what did I see? What did I miss? But Nevada, they had here's where they almost came back and get this. They probably could have had a chance to win. Ty Ganji had that big 57-yard TD pass. They went for two because there was an extra point, I think, that was missed or blocked. Yes, the PAT was blocked, so that made them go for two. You're down 28-16. Then it basically sealed on the 8-play, 57-yard drive, 35-26. Even though there's another Lobos pick at the end of the game, you're still down 9. They didn't score, but that's the ball game there. So I didn't see a second half, so sorry for rambling about probably people saying, you don't know what you're talking about. You didn't see this game. Well, I can't watch every game, and I wasn't staying up that late when I saw the score. I'm like, I'm good. But that's our show for tonight, so hopefully you enjoyed a solo project by myself, Jeremy here. Hopefully I was not terrible. I know I kind of say around like, we're no good, we're not this, but hopefully I did a decent job for what I saw, what I read, what I talked about. And our show, like I said, one last plug for this tickets giveaway, Hawaii versus Boise State at Hawaii. We'll call tickets. Some people joke, do you have airfare included? My response, I wish that we had airfare included, but it'll be a fun game if you can go check it out. And a couple things going on. Well, basketball coming up soon this week. We may do a hoop show with our guy Eli Bodiger to chat about his bracket stuff. He's been doing the top 25 countdown. We're about a week away. We have a couple of big games, especially next Monday, San Diego State Gonzaga. There's a few other games. I don't have the schedule in front of me, so I don't want to waste more time bouncing around doing that. But this is a football show. So we have, again, we're coming down to the wire here, man. We're week 10. bowl scenarios are taking shape. Conference titles taking shape. We'll get something out about a tiebreaker to look at in case on the west and the mountainside happens, because I don't know if it will, just because Wyoming has to play San Diego State, and Wyoming to have the tiebreaker scenario essentially to work out in a way we'd where it would be Boise one loss, Wyoming one loss, and New Mexico one loss would be for Wyoming to beat San Diego State. The way Wyoming's playing, obviously not going to put it past them that they can't win, but that's a pretty tall task for what they can do. And so Wyoming would have to beat Aztecs, and then New Mexico beat Wyoming the final week of the year, three-way tie, and then it goes down to the tiebreaker. And I believe at this point, assuming all the losses would be within the Mountain Division, they'd go to Western Division record and go from there. And so we'll look into that stuff later. But thanks for everyone who decided to listen to our little show tonight. Our website, mwcconnection.com. SoundCloud, I'll get that up shortly. I know I get that up a little bit later just because of the way it's not automatically uploaded there anymore. Blog Talk Radio is our preferred method. iTunes, Stitcher. Give us a review. 5 stars, reviews. Tell your friends. Do all that fun stuff. But we'll see you guys next time with our preview show for week 11. And again, we're always biased against your